Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, and with me as ever is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Hello, David. Hello, listeners. Welcome home.
Thank you. Is that to me or the listeners?
That is to everyone. Although, this is the first Film Fandango that's not even recorded in your home. This is a new environs.
Yeah, a what?
Environs.
Environs. Environment, yeah?
Yeah, but you can say environs.
Can I? All right, environs.
But one can say environs.
Okay. Is it French?
It just means environment.
Okay. Well, it's a lovely environs. I've never been to your environs before, but this is a lovely environs.
If there is some building work in the background, let me apologise. That's my neighbours who've been building continuously for 7 months.
Wow.
Yeah. I really hope they accidentally killed themselves on a drill.
Well, I hope at the very least they invite you around to see what they've done to the place.
I would literally burn it down.
What takes 7 months?
I'm so angry, I can't think about it.
I've had a kitchen ripped out and a new one put in while I've been away in New York. And that's taken far longer, but that's only
not
taken...
7 months.
No, yeah. It hasn't taken 7 months.
Anyway, this is a film, buddy.
It's a film podcast. But yes, we're back. I've been away in New York, amongst other things, seeing once co-host Danielle Ward's play, which was exciting. But yes, we're back now and here to talk about films. I have, while I've been away, seen rather a lot of films.
Before you left, we talked about playing films.
Mm.
How many did you manage to squeeze in?
Well, it was a 6 or 7 hour flight. I got in 3 films a flight.
Which were?
I was taking advantage, full advantage. I didn't sleep when I should have been sleeping on the way back. Well, in order, I started with, because of this podcast, I started with Man of Steel, because we'd had a lot of comments about it on Facebook and Gmail, and I never got round to seeing it at the cinema. I don't think you did either, did you?
I got put off by everyone telling me it was shit.
Yeah, well, I'll get onto it. But Man of Steel, then I saw Gangster Squad, the Sean Penn, Ryan Gosling...
I just think Sean Penn Weird Nose film.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the one. It's Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling flirting again. Just like in Crazy Stupid Love. It's the same relationship.
But more deaths in it.
More guns in it.
And a stupid nose.
Yeah. And Josh Hartnett instead of Steve Carell. And then I watched... what did I watch? Third Chronicle.
Superhero film.
The low budget-ish found footage superhero film, yeah.
That's really good though, isn't it?
And then on the way back, I watched The Wolverine and The Incredible Burt Wonderstone and Pacific Rim. I basically caught up on all of the massive spectacle blockbusters on the smallest screen possible.
Well, that's interesting. Because I would make completely different choices from you if I was on the plane.
Do you remember the last thing you watched when you were on a plane?
I watched The Intouchables, when I went to New York as well.
Yeah.
Untouchables, which is a guy, basically a French film, black guy in the wheelchair. The Hand That's... A low-budget cult film, The Hand That's Something Turned, or something like that.
That sounds terrifying. The Hand That Turns.
No, it was a weird cult thing. I can't remember, and I did start watching something Blart's Mall Cop, one of the worst.
Paul Blart, we do watch different films. Wow, you watched a Kevin James film.
I watched it because it was the blandest thing I've ever seen.
We used to complain in the 90s about Adam Sandler and Rob Schneider films.
Yeah.
But Kevin James films are just sort of the echo of the abortion of that cultural meme. I mean, it's just awful.
It's like an advert for those Segway things.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah. He goes around on a Segway around a mall for no reason and nothing happens. It feels like it's it feels like it's the start of a bad advert that carries on and on and on. He should be shot. Anyway, this is building where it's got to me. So, how did you rate all those films then? There we go.
There we go, it started.
As if on cue.
It's all, imagine it's background music to my rundown of the films. Well, starting from the top, Man of Steel. Controversial at the time, I remember. Some people were saying, give it a chance. Most people were saying, the ending's terrible. It was, I think, and I've thought about it for the last 3 weeks, it was not only the most boring film I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
The most boring 2.5 hours of my life.
And is he without any charisma, Superman?
He's fine, but the character has no character. Mm. There's nothing. There is absolutely nothing about anyone in it. There are no characters in it. Not one. Nobody has any motives or desires or anything. They're just going through it. And people's problem with the end is only sort of nerdy nitpicking in that he completely betrays the character of Superman at the end. Okay. But, oh God, it was dull. So dull.
Yeah.
And one of the most expensive and often cinematically beautiful dull things I've ever seen. But it was so tedious.
What was the best of them?
The best of them? Oh, I enjoyed the Wolverine. It got a bit stupid. But
this probably... This is where he goes back in time?
No, no, no. It's actually a sequel to the X-Men films. You don't like superhero stuff, do you?
I don't mind it. Then there's like prequels, sequels. You don't know what you've watched. And they change each other. They sort of change endings to the films. And they think, just do it normally. Just do a normal film and just leave it.
Well, I've had an enormous amount of superhero exposure whilst being in the States because I also saw Green Lantern on telly as well. The Ryan Reynolds one with where he gets the power of his imagination through a ring that needs to be charged through a lantern.
But the Green Lantern's gay now, isn't he?
Yeah, apparently in the comics.
And he's not gay in the film?
No. He's also black in the comics.
Yeah.
And he's not. Let's just make it Ryan Reynolds.
Every single minority. Let's do the gay thing and the black thing.
Yeah, and he's in a wheelchair as well.
There we go, perfect. Perfect. Well, that's nice. We've got an email in. Do you want to talk about something a bit more?
Well, have you seen any of the films that I've watched? Would be my question. Have you seen Man of Steel?
No.
Okay, have you seen Gangster Squad?
I've got it on my Sky Movies, but I've heard such bad reviews, I haven't seen it.
It's fine. It's just that it's like a teenager really likes gangster films and so has written one.
Okay.
It's what it's like. Because it's got all of the staples of, you know, putting together the hardest men and going up against Mickey Cohen, the biggest... It's the Untouchables crossed with some other stuff, but it's got no sort of... It's got no adult sophistication to it. It is a sort of romp.
One thing I like is adult sophistication.
You do. I mean, and it oozes from your every pore. You're welcome. Chronicle, I think, was probably the best one I saw. I'm not a big fan of found footage movies. I think there's a problem endemic in the genre in that your subjects have to be the kind of irritating assholes who film everything they do. Mm. And that in myself, that turns me off the characters I'm watching from the very beginning for me. I found the Blair Witch Project to be wholly boring. Nothing scary about it at all. But wasn't really interested in the people either. But this one I thought was really good. Really, really good. Chronicle, if you don't know, listeners, is found footage superhero film where three teenagers, sort of normal lads, end up finding a thing in the forest and getting superpowers, but the whole thing is done like it's properly real, true. Mm. So, and the CG is excellent in terms of just using it to enhance the story rather than...
It's always young people who find things. I'd be fascinated to see what pensioners do with it. A pensioner's version of Chronicle.
Mm.
Old people finding something that gives them superpowers.
What do you think being sort of jaded and tired of the world.
I think there'd be a lot more evil.
A lot more supervillains.
Yeah.
Yeah, what would you do?
What would I do? Well,
if you suddenly got sort of telekinesis, which lets you fly and manipulate things.
I would...
But every time you use it, you get a nosebleed, which is what happens in Chronicle.
I would get enough money to buy a house, put down in more... pay the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I'd summon money.
Summon money, yeah.
And then I'd buy a house, and anyone annoying, I only use my telekinesis to make them go, not come within a mile of my house.
So basically...
I would become a recluse.
You basically get a sort of telekinetic injunction against everybody.
Yeah, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. A court order someone, that they couldn't come within 200 yards of you.
That's the simple telekinesis. You just see someone go, oh, no... Or even when you're on a train and you think that I don't want that person sitting next to me.
Yeah.
That's when it comes in handy.
Shove them away. Yeah, go
down slowly. The carriage. So somehow I can't go, what? I can't sit down there.
Just walking on this spot.
You don't need to pay for first class. You just ensure no one sits next to you.
That's true. That's true. If you have a dog, that's pretty guaranteed no one's going to sit next to you.
Yeah, that's quite, yeah. Either I get telekinesis or a dog who can find money.
Hey, that's a good point. I've been trying to teach Buddy to sniff out winning scratch cards, but it's not working
so far.
Yeah,
you want to concentrate less on dogs' bums and more on £5 notes.
Yeah, please.
That's what I would do. There's no Buddy in the background.
There's no Buddy in the background.
Luckily, we've got the builders to replace him.
That's good. that drilling, that angle grinding noise is far more comforting.
I really love it.
Yeah. Okay, and flight back, the Wolverine, you haven't seen, obviously. The incredible Burt Wonderstone.
This has got quite bad reviews when it came out.
Yeah, it's just not funny enough, really. I mean, Steve Carell in, interestingly, I got the feeling it's supposed to be an out-and-out comedy like Anchorman, you know, where it's properly daft and ridiculous. And Steve Carell is playing he's a bit more ridiculous, but he's more his sort of lovable guy with a bit of a tragic history sort of thing that he does in Little Miss Sunshine and Crazy Stupid Love and stuff. And so he's utterly empathetic, but the story isn't interesting enough for an empathetic character, and he's no one in it's funny enough. The script it's really good people doing a mediocre script, basically.
Okay.
And then Pacific Rim.
That was good.
Again, it's the tiniest screen ever. The reason I picked massive blockbusters on the plane, and it seems counterintuitive because you've got tiny, tinny headphones and the smallest screen you can get, but it's because of the background rumble of the plane constantly that it sort of it masks it out completely with the bombastic music and explosions of Jaegers going against massive sea lizards.
Can't you go in the quiet carriage?
The quiet carriage of a plane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the luggage, isn't it? The luggage compartment.
Well, that's something to think about next time.
Yeah.
David's plane films. There we go.
My plane films.
Six films.
They were all pretty plain.
Anyway, we've had a letter in.
Oh, good.
Well, not a letter, an email.
What do they want?
See if you can guess who.
Chris Webb.
Yeah.
Hi, Chris.
Chris Webb, possibly one of the few people who actually listen to this show.
I mean, Chris, if you can show us proof that it's only you listening, then we'll just call you. It'll be a lot cheaper for us to just do this down the phone.
I don't want to give Chris Webb my number. Okay. Anyway, here we go. Dear boys, everyone loves films that celebrate the magic of cinema and movie making.
Correct.
So I was wondering what your favourites are. Top of my list would have to be Son of Rambo and the charming, underrated Matinee. I also have a soft spot for Ed Wood. But that may be just nostalgia. I've read that really badly. I'm going to read that sentence again.
Okay.
That was bad reading. I can almost imagine being next to my school teacher when I'm about 5 years old and reading out and going, I think you can do that better, Merrick, can you? Okay, let's try reading that sentence again. I also have a soft spot for Ed Wood, but that may be just nostalgia. In remembering a forgotten golden age of cinema when Tim Burton used to make good films.
Correct.
Then he's got me for some sort of casting thing, and he's wished his love. So the main thing is, favourite films, about films.
Films about films. Okay.
I enjoyed Son of Rambo. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it was lovely, wasn't it? I've not seen Matinee. Well, I like, let's think, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that last year, I think. That's excellent. Really, really good. I mean, it's one of those films that is basically a play. Two people in a room, but it's all the better for it because the performances are fantastic.
I've only ever seen bits of that.
You'll probably have seen it parodied more than you've seen it.
Yeah, like that's French and Saunders.
And then lots of other people have done it as well.
Yeah.
In the TV show Psycho Bitches recently, I think Francis Barber did a sort of pastiche.
People are still parodying it. It's about 50 years old.
I know. It's great. That's why. It's really good. But that's about that child stardom, I guess. I read a thing that Macaulay Culkin is the same age as Ryan Gosling. That's weird, isn't it?
Isn't he some weird sort of drugs hippie now?
Possibly. Doesn't he go out with Mila Kunis? I don't know.
It's not a gossip show.
It's not. Films about films.
I really enjoyed Adaptations, more about film writing.
Yeah, I'm totally ashamed. I have not seen Adaptation, or another one that's been on my watch list for so long and I still haven't seen it, Barton Fink, which is about movies as well. So, I will watch it. But Adaptation...
It's more about writing, I think, than films. I watched... Bowfinger is a really fascinating concept which doesn't quite put it off. It's Eddie Murphy and Steve Martin.
Yeah.
And when they try and make... They haven't got enough budget to make a film. So they get Eddie Murphy's character, he plays like this famous actor.
Oh, his doppelganger,
yeah,
don't
he's
they?
Got a doppelganger, and they try and film him and then use it in the film as realistic as to get... It's a great idea. Doesn't quite work, but I enjoyed it. I watched My Week with Marilyn at the start of the year, which was a surprisingly enjoyable film.
Eddie Redmayne and Michelle Williams.
I think I talked about it. From the trailer, you think, I'm no interest in ever watching this film.
Yeah.
It's very well done.
It was the Diana of its day, wasn't it?
But it's in a different class. I think this is surprisingly good. And Super 8 I really enjoyed.
Again, not seen that one.
But that's just harking back to... It feels like a cross between...
Goonies
and some E.T. sort of film.
Right, so it's a proper Spielberg-y...
Really, it's J.J. Abrams almost sort of tipping a hat to Spielberg, really. And I think once it goes to big sort of alien thing, it maybe loses its initial charm. But the start of Super 8 is great. And the best bit about Super 8 is they show in the credits through the narrative that they're making this film on their Super 8 cameras.
Yeah.
And they show the actual film they've made at the end of the credits, which I think is one of the best things about
that's
film.
A great idea.
So if you watch Super 8,
because that always bothers me when it's an... Often in films, when you have characters watching CCTV footage of something that happened previously in the film, and it's just the footage from the film.
Yeah.
So it's not at the angle of a CCTV camera, it's not at a different angle. And that always used to bother me as a kid. I can only remember one off the top of my head, which is the beginning of Never Say Never Again.
Okay. Where
they're just watching the opening sequence of the film. You just go, that's not CCTV footage.
Just put a bit of grain on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Put a record in the corner and some time code.
Properly lazy. Who Framed Roger Rabbit, I'd argue, is about movies.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, with Acme and all that. I think it's fantastic. And LA Confidential as well. I haven't watched it in ages, and I'd love to watch it again.
That's one of those films you can... I watched American Beauty the other day. It's one of the films you... Every now and 2 and 3 years, it's time to go and revisit your old favourites. What is your... Hey, listeners, what is your turnover period for the amount of time where you can enjoy a film properly again? From when you... Shawshank Redemption, every 2 or 3 years, I'll watch that when it's on.
You pick up the DVD or see the poster on Netflix or whatever, and... Personally, I get that either that pang of nostalgia and just like, oh yeah, I'd really like it, or I get I can recall too many scenes in it, so it's too familiar. I'll pass.
Yeah.
Depends on the film, I'd say.
Yeah, they're always quite different every time you watch them. Actually, I think American Beauty has been copied so much.
Yeah,
it was so influential. That's the word I was looking for. That it has diminished slightly from the impact when it came out.
Yeah. I mean, people have mocked the paper, plastic bag thing so much that it's probably hard to take seriously.
Just the whole feel of it, the whole way it's influenced how you can make a family film or orientated film about someone finding themselves. I mean, you could even say he's a bit like Walt in Breaking Bad, maybe.
Yes, no, definite parallels there. Mm. I've still not finished it. The most irritating thing ever. I can access Netflix in the States while I've been out. I've got 5 episodes of Breaking Bad to go before I've finished. The American version of Netflix, which you automatically go on once you're over there, doesn't have the exact number of episodes I need to see. They're just not on it. The last ones aren't on it.
So can you transfer back to...
Now I'm back here, it'll be British again and I can watch it again. But so irritating. Because dodging spoilers on the internet is a horrific
it's been quite
activity.
Good for that, actually. I managed to get through it. So there we go, Chris Webb. Thank you very much. I'll tell you what. If you do want to write in, we really appreciate it. What do people do, David?
Well, please email us at dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to just vaguely just toss a piece of information or a link to a video or anything our way, then go to our Facebook page, /filmfandango. Or you can tweet us at filmfandango.
And also there's been someone, has it written to our Facebook page?
We've got this from Nigel McGregor on Facebook, who says, hi, Marek and David!
Oh, God.
Is that too much?
Yeah.
Is it far too much?
Okay. His voice is broken.
It's one of my accents I do.
Let him be a bit deeper.
Okay.
Hi, Marek and David.
That's going to hurt.
I've listened to every episode.
Oh, no, it's
I
changed.
Love this show.
It's changed all.
Even after Danielle left. First time I've messaged in, though. I often listen when I'm driving.
It's suddenly sinister.
I cannot always write down the film suggested, so I thought you could create a list on your website of all the movies with their Davids and Merrick's ratings. Merrick, you could do this, as I assume you're out.
Well, he specifically targeted me.
That's why I said, even got a new paragraph for this.
Merrick, you could do this, as I assume you're out of work at the present.
It's so hard. I don't know why Nigel McGregor's saying this. Marek, I assume you can do this.
And have time to kill.
Carry on the message.
I'm not going to carry on his message. Thanks a lot. Why specifically me being out of work?
Well, you do talk about it quite often.
Yeah, you may be exactly right. That's what it hurts. But I have you know that later on today, I'm going to Birmingham to film a small part in Doctors.
Hey, that's good. I've done that. That's good work.
In answer to your question, Nigel McGregor, there's a website which someone suggested on our Facebook page called framerater.co.uk. I've not used this. You can create all your list of ratings for films. Well, I do use IMDb to remember what I thought of films.
Yeah.
But what I've done this year is I've written all down my Marek's in my diary of all the films I've watched.
Well, that's good. If I'd done the same, we could very easily input that data into something like Frame Rater. But I haven't. So...
I don't want to spend 3 hours of my life sitting and typing numbers into a computer. But what we will do at the end of the year, we normally do a review of the year.
We do.
So I'll be talking about like my top 10 or our top 10 films we've seen in the cinema and our top 10 films we haven't seen before.
Yes.
To give you some suggestions.
We should also probably start just putting a link to films we've talked about on our Facebook page more often. We'll do that.
Yeah.
We can do that, can't we? Each week. Yes, thank you, Nigel McGregor, for slagging off Marek's career potential. That's always...
Thanks a lot, mate. I just sit there, data entry.
Well, it's tickled me. That's nice.
Well, we should talk about the first big winter blockbuster, or one of them, I suppose, that we both went to see.
Oh, yeah. Which one do you want to talk about?
Oh, Gravity.
Gravity. Yes, I went to see Gravity in 3D, not in IMAX. I was in York at the time, so I couldn't go and see it in IMAX. But I thought it was great. Great film. I like Alfonso Cuarón, the director,
what who also wrote before? This.
He did Y Tu Mamá También.
Oh, okay.
He did the third Harry Potter film. Basically, he took over the failing franchise from Chris Columbus and turned it into something with a sense of humour and a really cool aesthetic. And they copied Alfonso Cuarón's aesthetic for the rest of the franchise. He did... God, what was it recently? My brain's gone blank. Did The Little Princess before... And no stuff.
Don't worry, because IMDb's here to help us.
Yeah.
Oh, he produced Pan's Labyrinth. I'm trying to see what he directed. Did he direct it as well?
No, that's Guillermo del Toro.
Children of Men he did.
Children of Men! That's the one, because I love it. I think Children of Men's a fantastic film. And everyone should go see it. But it's such... What I really like about him is he's using modern technology, what you can get out of computers and all of this.
So but this was shot on...
I think seamlessly. Children of Men did it brilliantly, where it's just enhancing the action and the story. It's not the star of the show. Gravity, less so. I mean, it is a sort of disaster movie, so part of it is the spectacle of the exploding things and everything. But I thought... The zero gravity stuff was done so well, like brilliantly.
I mean, the story is quite simple. Incredibly
simple.
It's
yeah.
just a space mission
that goes wrong, basically, yeah. where a debris cascade is orbiting the Earth after Russians try and blow up their own satellite.
It's always them who don't clean that properly.
It is, isn't it?
The Russians. If you ever go to Russia. There's debris everywhere.
Yeah, it's just everywhere, just debris. But yes, so their shuttle gets destroyed, and the two of them, played by George Clooney and Sandra Bullock, are stranded out in space, and it's what they do. It's basically like a sort of out in the ocean film,
yeah.
you know, but in space, in three dimensions. I mean, I thought it was stunning. Absolutely stunning. The story for me was perhaps too simple and sort of trad, off the peg. Like, it was screenplay by numbers, really. But I thought visually it was amazing.
Mm. I went to see this at my Odeon in Muswell Hill. And it's the second 3D film. I went to see The Hobbit before.
Yeah.
I moaned about, I think it was that, when it conked out completely. And there's more building in the background there. And I went to see... I've been really looking forward to this.
Yeah.
So tickets were... First of all, I arrived and I said, can I have tickets for the special... went with my girlfriend for the special sofa seats. I want to have a good seat. And a bloke at the counter went, oh, it's all right, go and sit where you like. I went upstairs and the manager was there. And she said... I said to her, rather than just sneak in, oh, you want tickets for the sofa thing? You can sit there. Is that right to sit there? And she went, no, you have to go and pay for the sofa ones. So to go back down again, pay again.
Yeah.
This is on Friday afternoon, so there's about 20 people there. So you paid to go in there, went and sat down on the seats. No one else was sitting on those seats, and everyone else moved forward. So everyone else was sitting on the sofa seats.
So you were honest. Paid. That's your
We were
problem.
Honest, and we had to pay more.
Yeah.
And then midway through the credits, the trailers, one of the speakers went, the sound went, so you couldn't hear what anyone was saying. It was, you couldn't hear what Kevin Bacon was saying in his EE advert.
God, properly. That sounds awful.
Yeah, that was the only blessing. The film started and the sound was gone. So in the first 30 seconds, I thought, oh shit, I can't ruin this.
So were you the guy who stood up and walked out to go get the management?
Yeah. So I went up, during the trailers, I spoke to the usherette.
Yeah.
And she came back and said to me, oh, the manager said you can have your money back if you want.
That's it? That's all they were?
And then I went down to see the manager. It was starting the film, wasn't working properly. And she said... we know there's a problem. She wouldn't come out of her office first of all. Tell me, we know there's a problem. There's an engineer coming in 30 or 40 minutes. So the film was an hour and a half, and they said that engineer, and you can have your money back if you like.
Yeah, but they weren't prepared to.
So even though I travelled all the way, all those people travel, the people in that cinema who don't know there's something wrong, there's like lots of old pensioners.
Yeah, yeah.
Who don't know that the film's not working properly.
Yeah.
Because they just can't, you know, they're not. That's sometimes you awful. Think, is it my head or is it weird, the sound?
And that does, it does taint you for the movie
before
as well.
The Odeon.
Well, me too at the Odeon as well. Different Odeon, but it was, I've told this story before on Film Fandango, but it was to see Transformers, the first one.
Okay.
And the screen was blacking out intermittently.
Wow.
And at first I thought it was a really weird stylistic decision, and it wasn't. And somebody again got up, and shamefaced to say it wasn't me, but somebody got up and complained. And they paused the film, but they kept the speakers at full Transformers volume.
Oh, God.
As it, when you pause a movie, apparently, the audio goes, bah, 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 like a skipping CD. And it did that. And they left that at full volume for 20 minutes while they sorted the problem.
But there's what I thought it was out of order that I went and complained, so you're still going to show the film?
Yeah.
Even though it's not working properly. It's 15 quid or 14 quid for a ticket for this thing.
Yeah.
And if I made the film and they weren't, you know, it was my film, and I thought, this is not how it's supposed to be viewed. You've got responsibility to go and say to those people, by the way, what you're watching now is not working properly. But we're going to ignore that and hope you don't notice.
Hope you don't ask for your money back.
So I complained. I asked my money back, and I asked my money for my popcorn back, and they couldn't do that. So then she came out, and she was just quite offish, just, very sorry, very sorry. The least you can do is to go to those people, I'm really sorry, here's your money back. Here's a free ticket to come again.
Yeah.
Didn't even get that. So I wrote some complaint. And then you watch these adverts and go, Odeon, fanatical about film. And you think, do you know what? Bullshit.
Yeah.
You would try to get away with showing one of the biggest releases of the year and showing it to people who wouldn't... When you're in a cinema, you're quite... And you think the sound's gone. It's quite odd because you're seeing things
so big
visually. You think, am I wrong? But only because the trailers I'd seen before, I knew that sound's not working.
Yeah.
That's gone. Kevin Bacon is far more... annoying than usual in this advert. No, less annoying than usual because there's no sound. So it was terrible, and I've written to complain, so she's going to send me some free tickets. Well, I thought, Odeon, that's twice that cinema has been bad. And I thought the way I was treated was if I was being a nuisance. And it was almost as if, we can have your money back. The engineer's coming in 34 minutes. Now I've taken my afternoon off work to come to watch this film. And you're not providing the service, and you're not saying, I'm really sorry. This big... I thought it was really terrible.
Did you go back to watch it properly?
I did go back and watch it properly. I think I was tainted by that, though.
Okay.
Because I was just listening to work out whether I was to see the sound. So sorry for that moan there, but I think...
No, I mean, I'm sure lots of people have had similar experiences.
It's
because it is an event, and that's the hot... If it's ever going to survive as a medium, you know, digital distribution sort of coming knocking on its door, it's got to maintain the event, the spectacle, the excitement that, you know, of it being a live theatre. It's a movie theatre. And if they can't do that, if it's less comfortable than your own room, then why would you?
Also, you have to go in and say to these people and give them the choice at the start of the film.
Well, it's why I love IMAX, because IMAX care about the technology, and the staff that work at those, you know, they know what a big deal it all working properly, because people have come for the fact it's bigger and you know, better.
But you should, I think, when you're charging people and you're going to buy, you know, it's like once you see half of a movie, that movie's ruined pretty much. You can't hear it.
Yeah.
That's gone. That's a big... Gravity's one of the big films.
And they've killed the... they've killed that first impression for you as well.
Yeah, yeah. And so they should just... Someone should have gone, this sound's gone. Right, I'm going to pause the film. What would be the responsible thing to do? And say, this film isn't working properly.
Yeah.
Or we can show it. Here's your... You get money back. You can't charge people for something that's not working. So Odeon, and your fanatical about film thing, that is total bullshit.
Called you out.
I've had two terrible... only experience, you can't even check if the film's working, and really poor customer service, and essentially charging people for a film that's not working and trying to get away with it.
What would you suggest Odeon's new slogan should be? A more honest one.
Odeon couldn't give a shit as long as you buy popcorn.
Odeon, terrible at film. Well, Odeon, if you'd like to reply,
I've already written to her. I got a reply from the manager apologising. She at least replied to my email apologising and offered me free tickets. So that is her response.
Okay.
But I thought on the day, and I was with my girl, I thought we would... I felt as if I was made being some sort of nuisance when I was... I wasn't being rude, where I was just being normal and saying it's not fair on people. And it was as if I was in the wrong, which is
well, back to the film Gravity.
Yes, Gravity.
I did enjoy it. I didn't have such a... I went to an independent cinema to see it, you see, and had a wonderful time. I'm still not sold on 3D. I mean, having so much black background, so isolated objects obviously helped a bit, but I still don't think it's either the technology or my eyes. And I'm not sure which is at fault, but it doesn't work.
I think some bits work and some bits don't.
Yeah,
I can work it with my glasses.
When it's moving, it strobes or it's uncomfortable. It doesn't look like a 3D image. It looks like a bit of a mess. And you have to sort of squint and focus more to get it to work a lot of the time.
So, yeah, on the edges, something doesn't work.
Yeah.
Unless you're sitting slap bang in the middle, you're fine.
Yeah.
But I think my glasses were a bit old and knackered and scratched up. So it was quite cloudy at points. I think I'm not a big... I think 3D, I think every single film, the first 10 minutes, you're blown away by the spectacle of it.
Mm.
And or if something looks really, really ropey, like it's really bad footage, you notice that for the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, once you become acclimatised to it, you stop noticing.
Yes, and that's true. That is true.
And I found this story, I thought it was a good film, and you cannot deny that some of the special effects of it, aesthetically, is amazing.
I mean, I did not know how they did a lot of it. Like, she's in... It's the entire sales pitch of the movie, I guess. She's in zero gravity for the entire film.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've seen scenes of it before, and Apollo 13, you know, was probably the first one to do lots of that technique of being in a plane and accelerating towards the Earth to actually get the actors in zero gravity for... like, what, 9 seconds at a time or whatever, but this is so much of it must have been harness work and computer enhancement.
A lot
stuff.
Of it is they get a green screen and a green pole vault bar because that bends,
yeah,
and they have put that up their arse.
Is that it?
And they're balancing on that.
I mean, they must have to be so physically fit to do that for
it's about a year's worth of training,
yeah.
And you think how hard it is just to do jumping with a pole vault to have that.
Well, in my experience, it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
She had short hair, I noticed, which is probably so that it didn't flow around all the time and cause extra headache.
That's a good observation.
Yeah, thanks. But no, I thought it was a good film. Interesting little bit of side stuff, which I love when there's accompanying stuff for a film, so the experience of going to see it can be bigger than it is. And it will be undoubtedly a DVD extra. Is this Sandra Bullock's character has a calls for sort of Mayday at one point and only gets this weird foreign voice on the other end who doesn't understand her.
Oh,
and
yes,
she
yes,
finds
yes.
out she's actually talking to someone on Earth rather than from a space station or whatever.
Yeah.
The other end of that conversation is a short film made by. Is it Jose Cuaron? I assume it's Alfonso's
really?
Brother, who wrote the screenplay for Gravity with him. And you can watch that. It's just a little 6-minute short about...
Oh, wow.
And it turns out it's an Inuit man with a baby and dogs camping out on the ice wastes, ice fishing. And he picks up her radio conversation.
Wow.
But you get to hear what he actually said because there's subtitles in the short. But if you want to track that down, it's called... Aningak, or however you pronounce it, which is A-N-I-N-G-A-A-Q, and it's on YouTube. You can watch that.
That's the first thing I normally type into YouTube anyway.
Aningak. And finally, you'll get a result.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. It's another expectation thing that I can bang on about. I think my expectations were too high.
Okay.
I found Sandra Bullock... Her character's quite cold... She's looking more and more like an alien herself.
She is. Her face is a bit unreal now, isn't it? It's. It always bothers me when people are supposed to be playing scientists or normal people who aren't enormously vain, and their appearance is the crux of their career. So why these people look like Courtney Cox makes no sense.
She looks like an elf.
Yeah, she does a bit.
You're turning into an elf.
You can tell the age by counting the rings on the neck, like a tree.
I'm 74. I read a book about this, a bloke who's stranded on Mars, which is actually short for Marsh.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not very short for Marsh, is it?
It's called The Martian by Andy Weir.
Okay.
And this is shows all the science about a guy how he survives. And I love that book. I've got back to it. It's amazing, amazing book. And when you see something that's better than the plot, I thought, a more interesting story and the science is more believable in the book.
For me, Gravity, I wasn't watching it for the story, and I know I always bang on about story.
There is no story.
Not really.
There's no story.
No, there is. It's just
there are no stories in space, David.
That's true. In space, no one can hear you. Story, but. Just the physics of the zero gravity is just beautiful to watch. Yeah. The choreography of that. I mean, it's amazing. And there's so many sort of continuous shots and stuff as well.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I can't imagine what choreography Sandra Bullock especially must have had to go through to, you know, make all of that seem spontaneous whilst having to do wire work almost continually.
You know? I almost want to see the making of it straight. One of the films you want to see how they did it afterwards. And it does look, it is believable and it does look great. I think technically, it's in a technical example of filmmaking, it is a triumph.
Yes.
But in terms of plot and character,
I prefer Children of Men.
Mm. How many Davies do you give it?
8.
I'd give it 7.
Okay. Okay, then it is to be war between us.
But that is quite harsh. It, on IMDb, it's rocketing up there, isn't it?
Is it?
It's just 8.5. It's in the top sort of.
Well, it's sort of the Life of Pi of this year, isn't it? And it's it will win all the technical awards at the Oscars.
I wonder if we've been. I think, you know, 10 years ago, this would have been more impressive. But I think I've just been spoiled now.
Hmm.
By CGI, so my expectations are that it's really easy. In my head, it's just like, oh, it's all done on a screen behind.
I remember watching the DVD extras on Sleepy Hollow and being amazed that someone would bother to, for the Headless Horseman, to frame by frame animate his collar.
Yeah.
Because obviously the actor's wearing a green hood, so his head's in front of the collar, so they have to draw the collar in afterwards. And with all of his movements, I thought, an entirely unreal collar. But we've come a long way since then.
It'd be good to have it on your CV, specialise in collar. Get the collar guy in. Well, what do people do if they want to do stuff?
What? Oh, you've lost energy. We've done that already. We did that in the middle.
Oh, did we do the donations bit as well?
Oh, no, we didn't do that. We do this podcast for free. But it is not free to produce. So if you'd like to contribute towards our running costs for all this lovely free content you're getting over the internet, the future, then you can go to filmfandango.co.uk and donate from there. And everyone who's donated already, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much to people who donate. We really appreciate it. And each episode is worth approximately 1p.
Is that right?
Value-wise, 1p.
Yeah, I think we contribute about a penny each.
Yeah.
Over the half hour to 45 minutes.
Anyway, hey, thanks for listening, everyone.
Okay, we'll be back next week with yet more films. But in the meantime, keep watching the films. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.